Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. You're with me, Faiza Munshi. It's been a very long time since I've been in the seat of presenting a program at this time of the day to our dedicated and wonderful listeners of Radio Islam. I'd like to welcome you all to the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, keep us all in your du'as. I'd like to say that first. Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to be in this month of Ramadan because there's just a peace and tranquility that surrounds it that I don't think we can explain and that we can, you know, explain to anyone that doesn't experience it. Now, I've surely missed being, you know, on the program with all of your wonderful listeners, and I'm hoping that I will not disappoint in this program. I'd just like to say that for those of you who would like to interact on the program, you could get me on Twitter at FaizaM during the program. And, you know, Ramadan is well on its way with us. Our second fast and time going by very quickly. It feels like the time's going to fly by as always. We prepare months ahead and in the blinking of an eye, Ramadan is gone. So I wanted to begin by saying let's make the most of this blessed month of Ramadan. For those wondering what's happening on today's program, let me start and let's come to that inshallah. So as many of you, as some of you might have seen, the program goes off as under the banner of My Community. So My Community is the title of the program and of the larger program. And today, because this slot, in this slot what we're going to do over the next few weeks during the blessed month of Ramadan is we will take a look at issues that impact on community and society. So, you know, in terms of many times, I mean, we look at the month of Ramadan, we look at our spiritual benefit, we look at the impact that many people have, the impact that I think spiritually we try and have on ourselves, from our deen, from our reading Quran and all of that. And so we thought in this slot we'll look at things a little bit differently and we'll look at our community. And in terms of our community, you know, I said my community and I should actually take that back. It's not just one person, but it's everybody's. So it's in terms of community, it's our community and how we run community. And as always with everything, there's always two sides to every coin. And so it will be on this program too. We will take a look at the good and the bad, the positives and the negatives as well. So today's program is really talking about making a difference in community and how do we do that. We begin, though, by looking at something particularly positive. How often do you as an individual, you know, think about making a difference? Some of us, many times we'll sit back and think, what is it that I could do? What is it that I should be doing? There must be something else in this world that I should be doing and that there's more purpose for me. But oftentimes we find it too daunting. And we tend to back off. We say, you know what, often we'd rather just maybe join a larger organization, help somebody out that's already doing work, or you know, just give money somewhere and say, you know what, okay, my money is making a difference, so I don't need to take that step. But some of us may sit back and say, you know what, I really feel like I want to make a difference. There are many people who are already making a difference. If you know anyone in your communities who has taken example on themselves to sort of just make a difference in the smallest of ways and in the biggest of ways. It doesn't matter. But they've really just taken it on, you know, taken the bull by the horn, so to speak, and said, okay, I'm going to do, for example, a feeding scheme. I'm going to help orphans. I'm going to help rebirth. I'm going to help people who are anyone, for that matter, that's making a difference in your community. You can tweet me at FaizaM. Let us know about those people. What is it that they are doing? And what is it that, how are they making a difference? So we're not looking at organizations today. I mean, organizations do an amazing job, and we can't take anything away from them, of course. But we're looking now at individuals. Individuals who actually have, if I may use the word, the guts to go out there and say, we're going to try, we're going to take a step, we're going to try and make a difference. And so that's what we're really looking at today in terms of people that are trying to make that bit of difference, you know, in terms of our community and our society. So today we're looking at, taking a look particularly at women who are not afraid to step into those shoes of taking on responsibility, being able to do the groundwork and follow up on the work that needs to be done, getting other women involved in coordinating efforts, and really just bringing some light and sunshine into the lives of others. You know, many times we feel that, like I said, like we're lacking in something. We have everything that we could possibly want, but yet we feel a bit of an emptiness inside. And I think that emptiness often comes from the fact that we're not sharing what we have and what Allah has given us with others. Or even the time. I mean, time is so short. We all complain about time being short. But as we speak to the two women I'm going to interview today, we'd like to know, you know what, where do they find that time? As much as the rest of us are complaining that there isn't any any time. How do we actually make that time? And there are so many women out there who are doing work. But today we'll just take a look at two such women. Inshallah, we'll share the experience of influencing other women who may want to take that step, but have been afraid, you know, to make that difference and to sort of just get out there and just do it. And try and just make that bit of difference. Now, before I do the interviews today and before we take a break, I want to read a story to you that just, you know, made a impact on me as I did research. Whenever we look at programs, we've got to do a bit of research on it and see what it is that really comes to the fore. And sometimes Allah just brings things forward. So as I was researching, I came up with a story that I found, and it was quite an interesting story. So if you listen up, it's quite nice actually with in terms of the message it gives, especially for what we're doing in today's program. So the story goes like this. It says, once upon a time, a greedy rich man hired a great mathematician. The rich man wanted the mathematician to find the best way for him to make the greatest profit in everything he did. The rich man was building this huge safe, and his greatest dream was to fill it with gold and jewels. So the mathematician was shut away for months in his study before finally believing he had found a solution. But he soon found there were some errors in his calculation, and he started all over again. So the mathematician constantly went back and forth with his calculations. But one night he appeared at the rich man's house with a big smile on his face and said, I found it, he said. My calculations are perfect. The rich man was going on a long journey the next day and didn't have time to listen. He promised the mathematician he would pay him double his wages if he would take charge of the business while he was away and put the new formulas into practice. So excited by his new discovery, the mathematician was delighted to accept. When the rich man returned months later, he found that all of his possessions had gone. Furious, he went to ask for an explanation from the mathematician. The mathematician calmly told him what he had done. He had given everything away to people. The rich man couldn't believe it, but the mathematician explained it further. For months I analyzed how a rich man could gain the maximum benefit, but what I could always do was always limited. There's a limit to how much one man can do by himself. Then I understood the key was that many people could help us to achieve the aim. So the conclusion was that helping others was the best way to get more and more people to benefit us. So I gave all your stuff away. Disappointed and furious, the greedy man stormed off, desperate at having lost everything at the harebrained schemes of a madman. However, while he was walking away disconsolately, several neighbors ran over, worried about him. All of them had been helped by the mathematician who had shared out the rich man's fortune. They felt so grateful to him that they offered him the hospitality of their houses and anything such a special man might need. The neighbors even argued over who would get to help him. Over the next few days, he saw the full results of what the mathematician had calculated. Wherever he went, he was received with great honor, and everyone was willing to help him in whatever way they could. He realized that his not having anything had given him much, much more. In this way, he managed to quickly set up flourishing businesses. But this time, he followed the brilliant mathematician's advice. No longer did he keep his riches in a safe or anything like it. Instead, he shared out his fortune among 100 friends, whose hearts he had converted into the safest, most grateful, and fruitful of safes. Time for a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Sister Samira. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. You're with me, Faiza Munshi, and we're talking about our community. How is it that we can make a difference in our community? And we're looking at different a way in which I think any of us could possibly get involved with community. And today on the line with me, I've got a wonderful sister on the line, Samira. Samira, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, Faiza, for having me on your program today.
Okay, so Samira, you're quite a busy lady. You're an optometrist, a mom of how many kids?
I've got two kids. I've got a four-year-old and I've got a six-month-old.
So you're quite busy. And how's your Ramadan going so far?
Alhamdulillah, going well. And your side?
Alhamdulillah. I think Ramadan comes and then all of a sudden when the first part is over, we start worrying that, you know what, Ramadan's going to be over too quickly.
True.
Especially in these short winter months.
See.
So, Samira, tell us, I mean, like I said, we're talking our community on today's program. We're talking about how we can make a difference in our community. And one of the things that I mentioned was that there's many women out there who try and make a difference, who in their own way make a difference. And I obviously can't speak to all of them today. But also there's a lot of women out there that want to make a difference but are afraid, you know. We sometimes think, you know, time constraints, financial constraints, energy constraints in some ways. So tell us a little bit about the work you and your group of friends and acquaintances do in the community.
Okay, lovely. Look, our initiative was in order to create stability in the lives of those less fortunate. You know, alhamdulillah, we are all blessed with so much, but there are many out there who don't have, you know, basic items, and they don't have the basic necessities like food on their tables. So we went about and we joined a group on WhatsApp, actually, which was very simple, just a few ladies, and we said, let's each contribute 200 rand a month. And with that 200 rand, we started buying a basic fruit, veg, and grocery box, which we distributed. We started off with the elderly first. Thereafter, we saw a need with some sickly people who weren't able to work. We started giving them. Then we found some single moms who needed help. Thereafter, we went to two orphanages, and now we're currently working with an Islamic center as well. Overall, we assist 140 people, but the difference with our project is that we do it on a weekly basis. We deliver this box every week, so people have the stability of knowing that another meal will be coming. You know, people, what I noticed in visiting a lot of these homes is that people were very scared, and they don't know if another meal will be coming, won't it be coming, once their pension is done, what are they going to do? And in this sense here, they know that, look, in some homes, they need to rely on us. In other homes, when it comes to single parents and so on, who are finding that they are in a difficult patch, we help them through that difficult patch. And alhamdulillah, you know, we always have moms who come back to us and say, Jazakallah so much for your support. We are on a better footing. I'm done with my idjat or whatever the circumstances may be. And, you know, I found a job and great, I'm moving on, you know. So there are lots of different ways in which we assist. You know, apart from just the fruit and veg hampers, we do assist in depending on what the needs are of the homes, you know, if they have clothing needs, we try and raise the funds for that as well. And from that, we've just grown and grown from there.
You know, it's interesting what you say, and I think many times we can't even fathom what it's like for many of us in our homes, listening, comfortable, having, you know, so many meals on hand. We've got freezers that are stacked to the top. It's just the idea that you mentioned that, you know, some people are worried, what if tomorrow we don't have another meal or the next day we don't have another meal? And it's something that we often don't think about, and I think we often don't, you know, make our children understand is that they are so fortunate in terms of how much we have and how much of access we have to anything. That's almost instant gratuity, instantly for us. There's never a time that we in a position where we worried about those kind of things. And I think we need to just sort of be empathetic about the fact that oftentimes we don't think about the fact that how these people, their mental mindset in terms of, like you're saying, you know, where is my next meal coming from? So, you know, I think that's something that I just like to point out in terms of what you mentioned. So, Samira, I think many people, I just find that many times, you know, we feel we sort of empty inside and we want to do something, want to make a difference. And I'm sure for many of the women that joined you, it might have felt like, you know, we need to make a difference somewhere, and that's how it got started. But tell us, how did you sort of just, like you said the WhatsApp group, but how did you rally the amount of, how many women are you, and how did you rally these women to sort of start contributing and helping on such a regular basis?
Look, well, initially when we started, we were just a handful of women. And, you know, each one, you know, mentioned to another lady. And alhamdulillah, now we are currently 62 ladies in our group. So, you know, it just grows with word of mouth. I think everybody wants to do something, but I think a lot of people are scared. But what people need to realize is that you don't have to be part of a much bigger organization. You know, you don't even have to be part of our group of ladies. You know, I won't even call us an organization because we're not that. We are just normal ladies doing our thing. Some of us are just like housewives. Some of us are working, whatever our situations are. But we all just wanted to do something, so we've gotten together. So what would be ideal is that in every community, you know, if women could get together and they could make a difference and stand up together. And if you feel that you can't do it in a group of ladies, do it on your own. You know, if you're going to the butcher, just go, you know, if you're buying your meat, buy an extra half a kilo of meat. If you know that there's somebody in your area that's having a difficult time, make an intention that every month, you know, when I go to the butcher and I buy my meat, I will give that extra half a kilo of mince or whatever you can afford, you know. If you can afford a chicken, two chickens a month, just drop it off at that person's house. If you can afford more, give more, you know, whatever is within your budget, but assist however you can in the simplest of ways, and that's what Allah appreciates. Any way that you can assist however you can. It doesn't have to be in a group. It doesn't have to be in an organization. It can just be you solely going to do your things just for the pleasure of Allah.
That's true. And also, I think, just like you mentioned, just keeping consistent. So being able, even if it's not the same person every month, but maybe making that intention of doing something for someone each month, you know.
Yes.
I think with the current financial times, people may feel that they can't always do something financially. Then maybe give up your time, an hour a month, for example, somewhere.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, like we said, want to do something, but they may feel, you know, overwhelmed by what it is that they may be taking on. Now, in terms of the group of ladies and your friends that have just gotten together to do this and do this community work, what are some of the aims that you have? I mean, I know it's feeding people, but there's always more to it than just taking, you know, or sending money to an organization or sending food to an organization. What in your mind is the main aim of what you're hoping to achieve?
Look, there's different goals. It depends on who we're assisting. When it comes to the elderly that are sick, you know, we can't really expect them to ever not depend on us, you know. So we know with them it's a continuous basis of helping. When it comes to, you know, single parents or people going through difficult times, there we assist to get them mm-hmm. back onto their feet. When it comes to, you know, the orphanages and the Islamic centers that we help, there we want to create a nice livelihood for those kids. So there we don't only do food and grocery hampers for them. We actually work on their needs. So they give us a grocery list and we buy according to that list every week. But
yeah.
apart from that, we do craft days with them. We had a soccer tournament recently. We've taken the kids to Bounce, Pizza Hut. So we do lots of fun things where
yeah.
we're trying to show them that there is a bigger world out there apart from what's within the doors of the orphanage.
That's yeah, wonderful so, because, I mean, oftentimes, I mean, like you're saying, you know, the food gets to them, but they don't get to see much else. And
so,
I think we take for granted that we sit in the car all the time, that we go on holiday all the time, or we get to see different places. Like even the zoo, for example, is probably something
yes.
that they probably wish they would see once in their lives.
Yes, it's an absolute luxury for them to go to these places, you know. And alumni, we've done so much. We've been in existence for 1 year, 3 months, but we've done so much. We're planning a trip to Goldie City now as well. So all we do is we ask every lady in our group, will say, can you sponsor one child and can you sponsor a meal for that child as well? And
mm-hmm.
people are more than willing. You know, we actually have more ladies than the number of the kids in this particular orphanage that we're taking. So, you know, it's wonderful that we can actually go out, take them, and they're such amazing kids. You know, at every center that we work with, the kids are marvelous, and they love going out. They love seeing new things. They're so appreciative of what we do. Currently, at one of the orphanages, they didn't have a playroom. So we all got together. We went out. We bought lots of toys. We're painting the room. We got some nice couches for them, and we're doing a lovely sort of entertainment room for them, which they're so excited about. And, you know, what people need to realize that the kids at the orphanage are just very much the same as our kids at home. You know, they have the same excitement. They have the same emotions. So we've got to make for them, you know, we've got to make life special for them, and we've got to make memories for them. And that's what's so important for me, is knowing that I'm not only creating the memories for my children, I'm creating it for other children. And inshallah, you know, we hope that that's what we carry with us when we go to Allah, when he asks, what did you do on this earth? You can be answerable and you can say, you know, I've assisted these children as well, and not only my children. And, you know, inshallah, that's our key to Jannah, and that's what we're hoping for.
And I just want to ask you, I mean, you're talking about sort of our kids, the kids from the orphanage. Do the kids from, like your kids, the kids of the families, ever meet the kids at the orphanage? And what's that sort of interaction like when that happens?
It's absolutely amazing, Faiza. When we do our craft days, when we do our soccer days, we always try and encourage the kids on our group. And we even encourage them to bring, you know, the ladies in our group, we say, bring your neighbor's kids, bring your friend's kids, bring your, you know, your nieces and your nephews. And the
mm-hmm.
kids all come on board. They interact with one another. They play together. You know, they've come to a first name basis as well. You know, when we meet, we do introduce everybody. We try and get everybody interacting. And what I love is after we've had a, you know, an occasion where we've all gotten together, is I always get the moms calling me and saying, you know, my kids were so touched. They were so touched by meeting these kids at the orphanage, and they're so appreciative of what they have in their lives now. It's made such an impact on my kids, and even though we went there to, you know, to make an impact on the kids at the orphanage. And I think, you know, what I've noticed is that with the older kids, you know, the kids around 11, 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
it's really opening up their minds as to doing community work as well, you know. I had a little girl who went, and she cleared out her entire toy cupboard, and she said, no, I've got too much of toys. You know,
that's amazing. Yes, because the thing is, what we're teaching them is, and that's the important thing, I think, as adults, as you grow up and you have your own kids and you understand that, you know, what you do influences the children around
yes,
you, and
yes.
because children do what we do. They never do what we say. So we may say, you know what, you need to be kind to the next person. But if we're screaming at the next person that comes past us, they're going to do the same thing. So they always do what we do, even in good.
Yes.
So like you're saying now, they're watching what you're doing. They're understanding what you're doing. And from that, taking it on. And I think it's heartwarming to see that people who have will give, and people who don't have also will give in these situations, because they're just happy to make a difference to anybody that has even the slightest bit less than what they have.
And
I think that's the main thing about today's program in terms of why we're talking about making a difference in community. It's not about the big things. It's about these things. Like you're saying, setting up a playroom for someone, for a group of kids at an orphanage is something that a lot of people may think, oh, you know what, it's not important. But it is, because it's part of their development. It's part of their everyday life. And our kids get to play and see color and see all these vibrant things. So why not a kid at an orphanage who's been disadvantaged, you know?
For sure. And you know, the other thing is that these kids don't go out all the time, you know. We take our kids out all the time. So for them, their home is the place that they spend, you know, 99% of their time.
Yes.
So, you know, it's so important to create that hub for them to know that, you know, I always say, you know, if you're going to leave kids to wander, you're going to have a lot of negativity coming. But if you give them, you know, give them crafts, give them things to do, keep them active, keep them busy, there's so much that they can do in that time, and it will actually grow them in so many different ways. I'm so grateful to Allah that He's given us this opportunity and He's given us this platform to do what we need to do. And I hope that, you know, other women can, from this talk, learn and benefit from it to go out there and try and make a difference in their communities as well.
Okay, and then my last question to you would be, so how do you all just remain motivated to continue the work that you do? What is it that you get from it? Because as human beings, everything we do has to have some sort of impact on us in order for us to continue doing it. So tell us about the impact it's had on you and the ladies around you, and why you how do you remain motivated?
You know, I can't tell you how my life has changed since I've been busy with this organization. There's just so much more focus and happiness in my life, you know, if I speak just for myself. But I think, you know, what makes it for a lot of women is when we do go out to the orphanages and the Islamic centers, if you see the happiness in these kids' face, the smiles, the joy, the excitement that they have to see us, you know, it's wonderful. And, you know, it's so touching to know that you've made a difference in somebody else's life. And I think that really keeps you going. And ultimately, you know, you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah. You know, that's all that we are here for. We are here to prove ourselves to Allah. And I think that if we can do these things and we can benefit the Ummah of Allah, the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then why not do it? You know, let's do things to please Allah and make him pleased with us. And that's what it is.
That's definitely, I think that's our main purpose and our main goal in this life. And inshallah, we can actually stick to that intention.
Ameen.
And, you know, continue doing the work. I hope, inshallah, you can also continue doing the work that you're doing.
Ameen.
In whichever communities, may Allah make it grow and flourish. And I think just keep, like you're saying, keep that intention clear all the time in terms of what it is we're doing, why we do it, how we do it. And just the influence that we have on the younger generation would be amazing. If we could just take them away from wanting more and wanting to give more, it will be an amazing, amazing life, I think, ahead for every generation to come.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. Jazakallah for your time, Samira. It's been wonderful chatting to you.
Likewise.
Everything that you are doing. And may all the work that you do grow from strength to strength.
Ameen. Jazakallah.
We thank Samira for coming online with us. It's wonderful work that they're doing. Like she said, it just started with a few ladies together. Now they're like some 60-odd ladies. Not so much an organization, but a group of individual women who are housewives, who are mums, who are working mums, who are everyone combined, whether they're mums or not, all women combined in a group, trying to make a difference at different levels, for the widows, orphanages, all of that. And just being able to give up their time and, I guess, finances as well, but more so being able to coordinate and give up their time and that energy, and getting back a beautiful, positive energy from everything that they're doing. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to speak to Asima Musa, also involved in community work, and chat more about this issue of how we can actually make a difference in our community. Stay tuned.
Feeling hungry already? Don't stress. A Dega Forsberg is open.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. Certainly a season of change, inshallah, for each and every one of us. Today we're talking about making a difference in community under the banner of our community. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, there's so many organizations and people making a difference in community. But today we're just looking at individuals who've decided to take it upon themselves, you know, to just rally a few people with them and make a difference in community. So we're not dealing so much with organizations today, but rather with women who are able to just take a bit of time out of their day in order to make that difference. On the line with me, I've got Asima Musa. Asima, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How's it, Faiza?
Alhamdulillah, and you're welcome to Radio Islam.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for the opportunity to showcase our little group in Pendant. We really appreciate any media coverage we can get.
Okay. And in terms of, I mean, like I said today, we're not talking organizations and big name banners and stuff like that, but instead we're talking individuals here. And you've also managed to coordinate a group of women who just try and make a difference in the lives of other people. So tell us a little bit about sort of the kind of projects, you know, that have come. I think it's become second nature to you now, but how and why do you do the projects that you do, and why do you take on that responsibility?
Okay, let me start at the beginning. We are a group of ladies in a tafsir group, actually. We get together once a week on a Tuesday to learn surahs of the Quran. And at some point 3 years ago, we realized that aside from just learning Quran, we could actually contribute towards the community. So we are a group of about 30 ladies that every so often, if something comes our way, and if we can assist, we jump on and try to get as much as we can. Just to give you examples, we created a Syria hamper drive at one point. We assisted the Syria Bread Project. I'm sure that you guys all know about the Two Life Foundation that's currently sending flour to Syria regularly on a monthly basis. We were just
so basically,
part of
what, you know, what you do is sort of help organizations in terms of, so get together, get what you can, and then just help with the processes of many projects that are already on the go as well.
Absolutely. We try to piggyback on an organization. The reason we do that is, you know, so often you hear about duplication of things being given to, like, you'd go to a specific masjid and you'd allocate 100, say, for example, hampers to that community, destitute community, and then you find out that actually this big organization's already given them 150. So what we do is we try to piggyback on the larger organizations just for their infrastructure, but not, you know, just so that we can get assistance in that we're not giving the wrong people, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
And it really helps us. You know, alhamdulillah, over the years we've managed to do many little charitable things. And it's little things that add up over the years that just amount to a massive amount of things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, in terms of doing it, right, I mean, in terms of trying to do good and trying to access, like you're saying, make a difference in the lives of others, there's various reasons why people do it. And everyone has a different reason. Like I said, I say often that oftentimes we have so much, but we have this sort of niggling emptiness within us that we feel that, you know what, we're just not doing anything that's worthwhile. For you and for those around you that do this work, what is it that keeps you going? Why do you continue doing it? What is the feeling that you get when you do something, some sort of work to help others?
You know, I wish I could say it was some sort of epiphany and allocated to some sort of person in my life, but really we only do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because at the end of it all, Faiza, all we need to do is, it was when we do something, is to hope and pray, inshallah, that he accepts from us. You know, we may have all these glorious ideas in our head, but at the end of it all we want is his acceptance of our ibadah in the form of charity. And like I said, this group of ladies are very similar-minded, that all of them sit together in a halakha, if you make, want to call it that. And everybody is so supportive of any initiative that I bring to them. And often I actually feel so bad. I'm sitting with a surplus of cash and I call them and I say, okay, we have this money. I'm giving it to those people. Just give me a show of hands and everyone is okay with that. And that's pretty much how it works. You know, you have to be similar-minded people to feel the same way, to want the same things, to be able to do it. If I can give advice to any woman out there that wants to do something in their community, just have yakin that Allah will help you. If you make a decision in your heart that, Ya Allah, today I'm going to find somebody to give charity to, that person will come your way. Allah will send them your way. Have yakin in that. Have yakin in your Creator in that He's the one that will provide no matter what. No matter what your situation is, no matter how hard. You know, sometimes you can have a sandwich in your car and drive 15 kilometers and not find someone to give it. But if you walk out of your house with that sandwich in your hand and thinking, Ya Allah, I'm going to find a beggar and I'm going to give this to someone that hasn't had anything to eat, I promise you, within 2 minutes, you're going to find the person to give it to.
So that's very important what you mentioned. Yes. What you mentioned is that it comes back to the intention of what we're doing, how we do it, and why we do it. And I think that's something that we often need to just remind ourselves of. Whenever we're doing any sort of community work or any sort of trying to make a difference, like I say, in community, that's the main thing in terms of intention and how we do it. And I guess it's a point of always renewing that intention, as they'd always say.
Absolutely. One of the things that you can always fear when you're doing things like this is having the prestige and the glamour almost of what people perceive you to be to go to your head. And you know, if you constantly renew your intention, I think you can forget about everybody else and you can remember why you're doing what you're doing. And it becomes easier to. You know, sometimes you almost feel idolized in that, oh my God, she does so much. But if you constantly renew your intention, Allah keeps you safe from shaitan and things like that. And anyone in any community can assist. You know, if you take a drive out in your community, you will find that there's people on the roadside that are looking for food every single day.
That's much I know, yes.
To give a bottle of cold water in winter, to carry apples in your car, these are such easy ways of giving back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts every little thing that you do.
Now, you're bringing that up. I mean, a lot of people find it almost disconcerting. Everywhere they go, there's somebody there. Just in terms of a mindset, how do we now change our mindset? Because we're talking Ramadan, we're talking, you know, trying to do good, making a difference in community, and you're saying, yes, carry an apple, carry a water. Because oftentimes we drive past there and we go, not another one. You know, and that's the mindset I think a lot of people are coming to now, because no matter where you are, there's a lot of beggars. I think the financial climate has affected people to such an extent. You can actually see over the last few months that beggars have even increased on the roads. I'm not sure how many other people have noticed, but even I've noticed wherever you drive, every single intersection has got more than one beggar. How do we then, I mean, in terms of what would your advice be, and this is the last thing I ask you for, is how do we as human beings just, you know, change that mindset a little bit and say, you know what, let's just do good for others as opposed to saying, ah, not another beggar.
Okay, let me give you an example. A friend of mine was gone for Umrah and she had her musalla out with her, and this woman came to read Salah with her. It was in Medina, if I'm not mistaken. And she thought, oh, you know what, I don't want to share with her. And she shifted her musalla. So she thought, I don't know who this woman is and I don't want to share with her.
Okay.
And not even a minute later, another woman came along, and this woman was standing there. The woman turned her musalla around, and she shared with this woman. So she said one of the things that resonated with her with that incident was that Allah gives you a chance. If a beggar comes to you, remember that's Allah giving you a chance. That beggar is not there for himself. That's Allah giving you a chance to get a good deed for today. So you can choose to take it, or you can choose to leave it. But remember, if you leave it, there's somebody else that's right behind you that's willing to take it. So it's a choice that you make for yourself. So it might be the 20th beggar on the road, but remember, every time you see one, your Allah is giving you a chance. He's giving you a chance at sadaqah, because sadaqah at the end of the day is not the reward for the beggar that's getting the sandwich. It's the reward for you in your akhirah. So you make the choice in your heart. Do I want this or don't I want it? If I don't want it, the car behind me is going to get it. And drive on. So you choose what you want for yourself.
Certainly. I love that advice, and I think that will resonate with our listeners quite strongly in terms of, remember, if you're not doing it, somebody else will get that reward. Asima, jazakallah so much for taking our time to chat to us on Radio Islam. It's been wonderful chatting to you. May Allah grant you and your group of women barakah in whatever you do, and just take whatever you do from strength to strength. And like we said, keep intentions clean and clear always.
Jazakallah khair, Faiza, for letting us be part of your show.
Jazakallah for your time.
Say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So that's our listeners. Was the two interviews we've done with women who are part of community. The first started off as a WhatsApp group with a group of ladies and a group of friends. Grew into a group. It's not even it's not an organization, but it's just a group of women together trying to make a difference. And then the second one was Asima, also part of a tafsir group. So there's so many of us out there. We sit in groups weekly, in our Italian groups, in our tafsir groups, whatever it is. How can we make a difference? Many people are now making a difference in terms of going to clinics and doing the bread drive. That also, every time you get an opportunity to do that, imagine the reward that you have. People are standing in queues, waiting for medication, waiting for their doctors, and waiting for all of these people to come, the specialists to come around and help them. And the conditions are not great, as we know, in our government facilities. So what's happened is a lot of people are now doing, you know, bread drives at these government facilities, for example. So whatever it is we can do, I think, as individuals to help those processes will be great, inshallah. And I think I speak for myself as well. We often, so often, are so busy with our lives, and we're so busy with our kids, and we're so busy with between school rounds and food and cooking and everything else that goes with it. It's so important that we just try and do everything that we can and make a difference in the communities and the societies that we're in. And like as an individual, we can certainly make a difference. We can certainly, just clear our intentions. I think that would be the main message from today's program is, Tina, with clear intentions, do the good, whatever good we can, and everything that we do, let us do it for Allah's pleasure, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept this program, and for everyone that was listening, I hope that, inshallah, it's been of benefit to everyone. And for those of you who still like to send a tweet, we can always share it on further programs. It's as far as I am. Let us know what it is, as individuals, you are doing to make a difference in your society and your community. Remember us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.